Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello there and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. Hope you're well. Well, why wouldn't you be after what has been one of the most hilarious weeks in football I can remember for quite some time? Football is a game, of course, which drives our passions. We all support our team. We want them to win. Some people express that in different ways from others. You have the super optimists who think everything will be great, the super pessimists who think everything's going to be terrible. But ultimately, everybody wants the same thing. And there's joy and anger. There's happiness, sadness. And from time to time, football is a game which can make us laugh. Sometimes things are so bad that all you can do is step back and laugh and go, oh my goodness, you know, well, what can you do about this? This is just ridiculous. But other times you laugh because things are just really, really funny. And this is one of those weeks. Look at what happened at Old Trafford, for example. Yes, we won a game that we really needed to win for very many reasons, and that was great. But apart from winning, there were moments of genuine hilarity when you look back on it in the context of the result in the game. For example, Fellaini elbowing Coquelin in the face in the first couple of minutes, in hindsight, that's hilarious. Because what Fellaini was trying to do was bully Coquelin in the opening minutes of the game. Here you are, little guy, I'm going to elbow you with my pointy, sharp elbows. And on that, we discussed it on the Arsecast Extra on Monday about how players like Crouch and Fellaini, because they're so tall, tend to be a bit elbowy because other players are at elbow height. But as at Nam Tsao points out on Twitter, they say it's because they're tall, but Mertesacker is also tall and doesn't elbow every fucker in the face. A very good point, extremely well made. The difference between Mertesacker and Fellaini and Crouch is that Mertesacker is not a dirty fucker, whereas the other two most definitely are. So look, you have this moment where Coquelin, with his broken nose, has it smashed again? There's blood pouring from it. And Fellaini is thinking, yes, I've done it. I've gone out and I've done exactly what I should have done. I'm going to put this guy in his place. So what happens then that's so funny? Well, Coquelin just played him off the park. That's what was funny. 6'4" Fellaini trying to be the big hard man, and Coquelin did him in 10 out of the 12 duels that they contested on the pitch. In the air, on the ground, Coquelin did him. And I find that, in hindsight, very funny. Not quite as funny as the sending off of Angel Di Maria, of course. That was really funny because he should have got a yellow card for his dive, no question about it. But then doing what he did to the referee and giving him a little slap in the back, well, that's just ridiculous. What added to the hilarity of that moment was Wayne Rooney trying to reason with the referee not to send him off. Can you imagine being a referee? Can you imagine being in any line of work and Wayne Rooney trying to convince you not to do something you know is the right thing? Now, if you're faced with somebody who is a skilled orator, somebody whose dexterity with the English language, regardless of whether you know you're right or wrong, can leave you thinking. There are people like that who can use words to bring you round, and all of a sudden you're going, hang on a minute, well, maybe. But Wayne Rooney? What was he saying to the referee? Send him off, please. You're not convincing anybody there. So I found that amusing. The idea that Wayne Rooney was trying to talk somebody out of doing something. So that leaves them down to 10 men at home. And we allow them to have a lot of the ball. And then Yanezai goes storming past Monreal into the box. There was a little bit of contact between the two players outside the box, but he got into the box in full control of the ball, where I'm sure there were Manchester United players waiting for a cutback, which would have been very, very dangerous, and he decided to fall over. Now, I have to say, my heart was in my mouth because normally at Old Trafford, when a referee has sent a player off, and I can't remember it happening too many times, he will try and even things up a bit because he was always afraid of the wrath of Ferguson. The big fucking Scottish Eye of Sauron that struck fear into every official to the point where they made decisions that they must have known were wrong. So you're looking at Yanisei going down and immediately the weight of all those years of seeing decisions go United's way, you're just automatically waiting for the penalty to be given. And it wasn't. It wasn't. He gave Yanisei a yellow card, which is brilliant and funny. And what was funnier is that Yanisei probably cost his team the chance to equalise. Because there must have been Manchester United players flooding the box, and he had the chance to do something with the football. Instead, he chose to fall over rather than, you know, do the thing with the football that professional footballers are supposed to do. So we beat them, and they made complete cunts of themselves. And, you know, to me, that's really, really, really funny. Just no other way of putting it. And for that then to be followed up by what happened at Stamford Bridge, it's like we're being spoiled. Leaving aside the individual moments of hilarity like Diego Costa's tantrum when he didn't get a penalty and he slapped the ground like an errant child who didn't get his sweeties in the supermarket, or, you know, John Terry marking Gary Cahill, or just the plain fact that Chelsea, playing with a man extra at home, having taken the lead twice in the game, conceded from two set pieces, one to a former player, and go out on away goals. Leaving aside all that, just if you can for a moment, if you can, picture Jose Mourinho's face. It's just too funny. It really is. What an amazing week of laughing at other people. And I really have no problem with it because I know that when we don't do things right and when things don't go well for us, other teams and other fans, they laugh at us. And they should. That's what football is all about. They should laugh at us. Why wouldn't you? We laugh at them, they should laugh at us. And no amount of, well, you know, we fucked it up in the first leg against Monaco. Yeah, we did. But why shouldn't we laugh when things like that happen to Chelsea? You don't always have to qualify something. You can just enjoy it on its own merits. Regardless of our failings, regardless of what we did or didn't do against Monaco, what happened to Chelsea was one of the funniest things to happen this season. I mean, it's right up there with, let me think, Chelsea being beaten at home in the FA Cup by Bradford. It's right up there. In fact, you might even say it's better because it's happening on a wider scale. The FA Cup, I love the FA Cup, but there isn't really the worldwide audience as there is for the Champions League. And let's face it, Chelsea were playing with an extra man and had taken the lead twice and were at home. And all they had to do was just hold on for 7 minutes and they would have been through. And now they're not. And their sadness and their tears, they make me laugh.
Oh, let me taste your tears. Your tears are so yummy and sweet. Oh, the tears of unfathomable sadness. Yummy, you guys.
Cry me a river, fuckers. Right, time to move this discussion on and welcome this week's guest, a man you know well. He is not, I repeat, not on a beanbag. It is the man from East Lower. Good evening.
Good evening from the sofa.
The sofa. How decadent.
Indeed.
Before we start touching on things Arsenal, did you find Wednesday one of the funniest things that you've ever seen?
Well, I did enjoy it, and I've long since been slightly baffled by people that say, "Oh, you should support the English teams when it's not your team." No, and now I thought it was brilliant because it was a little bit unexpected as well. So I loved every second of it.
Yeah, it was fun to enjoy other people's misery. Maybe, does that make us bad people?
I don't think it makes us the worst people. I mean, you know, maybe it marks us down ever so slightly. But I think overall we're still going through the gates of heaven, you know. I mean, I think we'll be all right.
All right, okay. You know, I'd hate for that to rule me out and not some of the other stuff.
Well, quite, yeah. You know, I mean, I think the thing about that game was, you know, there was a lot of sort of mischief. Let's call it mischief, just for a And yeah, it didn't need to happen, and it kind of made you feel a bit better when they got their comeuppance, really, you know.
Mm. Touch of what goes around comes around, and...
Yeah, I think so, and I don't like to see the kind of haranguing of the ref and that kind of stuff, so, yeah, well, there you go. Mind you, next Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well, yeah, that's going to be... That's a different thing. That's like in the future, man. We don't need to... Don't need to get too hung up on what's going to happen. We might not even be here. The world could end before Tuesday, and we would have missed this chance to enjoy laughing at them. So,
well, if it did end, we'd be in the top four.
Yeah, we'd be in the Champions League next season. Yeah,
that won't be happening. But yeah.
Well, yeah, So look, the other thing that was very funny this week, and also great, was the fact that we won at Old Trafford. How were you feeling before the game? Were you confident that we could go there and get something?
No, not massively, no. I think I was sort of edging towards a good result or a best case result being a draw. I mean, but you got, you know, completely based it on the last 10 trips there. So it wasn't sort of some pessimism that came from nowhere. It was with good reason. So I kind of thought before that if we could get a draw, it would be a pretty good result. But in the end, maybe... maybe their luck ran out and ours, you know, finally picked up a bit. And I think we were absolutely well-deserving winners in the end. And it was actually really nice to watch it from about the 75th minute. Because, you know, sometimes, I think you mentioned it yourself,
yeah,
you kind of, you're terrified that something's going to happen. And actually, it never quite felt it was going to. So it was lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, I enjoyed it a great deal. It's unusual to see referees be that strong at Old Trafford. There was somebody posted on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, a back page from, it might have been last season actually, where somebody's saying, well, you know, why aren't United getting the decisions? And Arsene Wenger says, or something to do with, to the effect of, I'm getting this terribly wrong, actually. It's basically Arsene Wenger was saying that because since Ferguson has gone, United don't have the same fear factor. So that was a really roundabout way of saying that. But do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think so. At Old Trafford, yeah. I still think they're hard. They've been pretty hard to beat. But at Old Trafford, they've lost something like 9 games in the last 2 seasons since he went, and that's pretty much unprecedented. Mm. So I think it is edging away ever so slightly. It's still a hard place to go because they've got a big crowd and you know, all the usual reasons, and the refs often sort of slightly favour them. But no, I definitely think it's gone a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the old days they had the threat of Alex Ferguson. Now the only scary thing is the fact that Ryan Giggs might shag their wives.
Well, I couldn't possibly comment, but I think five minutes, Fergie time,
right? Yeah.
Giggs time, I don't know what's going on.
Giggsy time is probably not as fearsome as Fergie time.
There were still 5
hairier, but like, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's actually, talking of which, that I was thinking before the game that you know, many Man United Arsenal Cup games in the past, and that game in 99, I was there at Villa Park for that replay, and I have to say it was one of the most kind of emotionally draining games that I've ever been to. It was a car journey home. Nobody said a word to each other, so... Oh. It was nice to get that out of my memory again.
Yeah, I mean, at halftime, I'm not usually one for a halftime analysis, so I don't quite know why it was on. Maybe I was just doing something else, and then, you know, they had a little bit of chat about the game, and then they were like, and now for more memories of that 1999 semi-final, and I was like clambering over the dog to try and get to the remote control because, like, fuck off. That was 1999, you know. How many billions of times have we got to put up with that goal? And that night, oh
yeah, I know. And also, how the hell is it 16 years ago? How's that happened?
I don't know. Gosh, I remember I was so young and sprightly and lithe and
carefree.
Supple. I know. Now what's happened? Well, yeah, I think we know what's happened. So look, an FA Cup semi-final at Wembley. We've been here before. We've spoken, I think, about the distaste for FA Cup semi-finals at Wembley. Simply because it takes away from the occasion. But look, that's where it's going to be, Reading or Bradford. We've had tougher FA Cup semi-finals down the years. without jumping to any conclusions or taking anything for granted, we have had tougher ones. Mm-hmm. Like Wigan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was... yeah, good point. Yeah, so that was Mertesacker saving the day. That's the thing about these. Like, you would, you know, on paper, it's the whole classic thing. On paper, we should beat them, but we play on grass, and I think we should get through. All things said and done, but it'd be such a big occasion for whoever it is, Reading or Bradford, that and it would be classically Arsenal to kind of think, oh, we're done, we're through, wouldn't it? And
well, you'd so like to think we might have learned that lesson, though.
Yeah, you reckon? I'm not so sure. I think there was an element of that against Monaco. You know, there's a kind of, oh, well, we've been finally drawn against a, you know, not the best team, and this shouldn't be too hard. And of course, before you know it, we lost 3-1. So I think they really have to caution against that. And you'd think they'd learn their lesson. But with Arsenal, you're never 100% sure, are you?
It's difficult to quantify or to know how, you know, whether lessons have been learned because of the arbitrary nature of sport.
Yeah.
It's not like your times tables where you can sit them down and make them do it until they remember it. But, you know, there's an emotion behind it, and there's obviously passions and things like that driving it. But you would like to think that having come within 8 minutes of losing to Wigan last season in the semi-final, that we certainly wouldn't take anything for granted regardless of the quality of the opposition.
Yeah, you'd think so. And you know, let's be honest, we really should be getting to the final now. Mm. So, so that's another thing. I mean, it'll be exciting, and I hope they do give, whichever side it is, I hope they do give us a good game, because, you know, that makes it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. Are you encouraged by what's happening at the moment? Certainly over the last couple of months, do you feel like the team is in a better place, in better shape? Because the opening part of the season was obviously a bit iffy, and there have been moments where things haven't gone our way in recent weeks, where, you know, we've lost to Tottenham away from home. You mentioned Monaco, Southampton, but most of what's happened around those really frustrating, disappointing results have been Arsenal wins.
Yeah.
So how do you see things?
Well, it's one of those things that my judgment on it changes depending on the result, obviously. That's just the way it works. But I do think the overall picture is that things are picking up, and, you know, I don't think we've been playing sort of scintillating football, although I thought we played pretty well on Monday. But we've been kind of doing the job. But the thing that frustrates most Arsenal fans is that sort of every fourth or fifth game, and it really is that regular, we seem to kind of pull a defeat from nowhere. So, you know, I don't think we've gone more than five games this season without losing.
Really?
So, I don't think so.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So I'm not in the league anyway.
Right.
And in fact, I think the beginning of the season, when we went all the way up till we lost to Chelsea, I think was about the longest we've been without being defeated. But it's one of those things you kind of think there's a bit progress, and then suddenly something happens, and that's what I'm slightly wary about with Arsenal, because we are still a bit prone to that. Now, if we can kind of, in the last 10 games, league games of the season, if we can somehow, you know, go on a run that doesn't include a defeat or two or three more defeats, then yeah, it's progress, isn't it? Definitely progress.
Yeah, you're right about that. At the start of the season, we had two wins, four draws, and a loss. at Chelsea. Then we had a draw and two wins, and we lost two on the trot to Swansea and Manchester United. We won two, lost one, won three, drew one, then lost one, won three, then lost one, and we're on a current run of winning four without losing one. So watch out, West Ham.
If the season is any guide, then we need to sort of have a take a stiff drink into the West Ham game with us or something. Don't
But no, it does feel a bit different from the start of the season, that there's more balance and the team is a bit more together in terms of what it can achieve rather than how it plays at times.
I think he's found a team that sort of that he likes as well. A bit more and trust a bit more, and I think it is coming together. The fluency, like I said, isn't 100% there, but then you could almost say, well, how many teams are playing absolutely fluent football at the moment? There aren't many.
Certainly Chelsea aren't, because they were beaten in midweek. I don't know if you heard this, but they were beaten by Paris Saint-Germain, despite the fact Paris Saint-Germain only had 10 men and Chelsea were at home. Did you?
I wasn't aware of that. Tell me more.
They took the lead twice in the game, Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah, and they were 7 minutes away from qualification when John Terry, he tackled Gary Cahill, his own player, allowing Thiago Silva to loop a header into the top corner and send Chelsea out of Europe in a humiliating manner.
Listen,
I'm surprised you didn't hear.
Well, I didn't hear. I mean, I think it's so fanciful that you might as well tell me that he stood on one of his own players' heads. I mean, and I wouldn't believe it.
Well, that's ridiculous, surely.
Yeah, stupid.
One of the things I think that people really enjoy about football is an underdog story. And usually it's based around a team. But this season we've seen an underdog player come in and make a huge impact at Arsenal. Francis Coquelin has now become a very important part of this team. How surprised are you that it's happened for him? And B, what do you make of him as a footballer?
I'm massively surprised it happened to him, and I think everybody was. He was practically, as has been well documented, he was pretty much gone. So for him to come back sort of as an emergency and grasp it, like you say, it's a story that is sort of boys' own stuff. It's fantastic.
Do you mean boys' own or boys' own? Not the Irish boy band.
Well, I was actually referring to the boy band, but right. Boys' own actually maybe works a bit better. Yeah, I don't know. Boys one. No, I think as for the player, it's one of those, I keep expecting him to sort of stop being as good as he's been and to sort of revert back to what I expect him to be. It's very harsh, I know, but I keep kind of thinking it can't carry on. But actually he's been, it's getting to the point now, and I'm probably tempting fate by saying it, that, if he carries on like this, then you kind of think he's there, isn't he? He's kind of nailed it. That's it. We won't need to kind of go and spend 30 million there, although maybe we will for to have more than one player that can do it.
But
yeah, he's been absolutely phenomenal. And and just so tenacious. And that sort of energy as well, I think maybe we didn't have that at the beginning of the season. We didn't have, and without Sanchez as well. So we've now got a lot of more energy, and with Welbeck, that we maybe had, and that could be having an effect.
Yeah. It's almost a happy accident in a way as well, isn't it? Because were it not for injuries, were it not for circumstances, he probably wouldn't have come back. But a lot of things that happen to a lot of people are based on the fact that they've just been kind of in the right place at the right time, that a door is open for them and provided them with a chance. Some people don't take it. We've probably had plenty of players who were given opportunities in the first team because of injury and didn't do enough to convince anybody that they should stay in the first team. But Coquelin has come in and just stormed it right from almost his first game back.
Yeah, he's one of the first guys on the team sheet now, and that's really phenomenal if you think about it. It's not even like he's a bit part player. He really is. See, if he's fit, he's in. Mm. It's that simple. And you can tell he's completely thriving off it. Like that. That Vine that was doing the rounds of him when Monreal scored, he was absolutely fist pumping and just it was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was just so wired that he's loving it. He's playing, he's playing fantastically well.
So this weekend then West Ham and Tuesday then is Champions League in Monaco. Given the state of the Monaco game and what we need to do there, is it a case that we put that completely and utterly out of our minds? I mean, there would be a time when we might look at a game against West Ham as a way of resting a couple of players here and there for a Champions League game, but the circumstances that we find ourselves in mean that we should really give everything that we can on Saturday against West Ham, and then whoever's fit and available and ready for Monaco, we make our decision then.
Well, I think that's the way to approach. I think that's the most sensible way to approach football, full stop. Because it's all about momentum, and if you're on the up or if you're on the, you know, if you're not, and just, you know, even a draw. If you rested a few for the Monaco game, and we got a draw or we got beaten, then you're kind of back to square one again, aren't you? So I just don't think there's any room for mucking about at this time of season. I think we've got a pretty decent squad, so we should still pick the team that's best place to do it.
Yeah.
As for the Monaco game, I mean, I think we've got to be really realistic here. I think it's gone. You know,
you don't think there's any way?
No, I don't, because it's just never happened in the modern era before. I think 1969 or something, I read somewhere, was the last time that a team's come back from that kind of deficit. It's just so unlikely. I mean, if it happened, it would be just the most amazing achievement. But
almost like a Paris Saint-Germain side, down to 10 men, away at Stamford Bridge, having gone behind twice to a Chelsea side renowned for their defensive stability, scoring 7 minutes from time to put said Chelsea out of the Champions League? Would it be as remarable as that?
I think, well, again, it's a hypothetical scenario, because that would clearly never happen.
No, it didn't, you know.
No, I think, yeah, 3-1 down after the home leg. Let's not get too excited about it, because the chances of it happening are so slim.
Yeah. Is there a danger that we might build ourselves up with the vain hope that, well, you know, all you need to do is win 3-0. I know Monaco haven't let in 3 goals at home since 2000. And,
well, that's the other thing. You know,
and nobody's ever done it. But, you know, somebody has to do it first. The law of averages suggests somebody has to do it at some, you know. Is there a danger that we could make it worse by hoping?
Yeah. Well, hey, but that's the way I've always approached football anyway, is if my glass is ever so slightly empty rather than full, then that way, if something good happens, you're absolutely ecstatic.
Yeah.
And if something bad happens, you go, well, I told you so.
I was prepared for the worst anyway.
Yeah, so I'm all right with it, you know. But I think it would be phenomenal if it happened. But I don't hold any hope out.
All right, okay. Well, I'm sure that Paris Saint-Germain.
Sorry to dampen your clearly innate enthusiasm.
No. I'm just, you know, sometimes I look at it. I know it's ridiculous, and I know it's so improbable. But you know, you think, well, this is only 3-0. Their keeper could be sent off in the first minute, and we could get a penalty, and then we've got 89 minutes to get 2 goals against 10 men. But as we've seen during the week, 10 men can often be a difficult prospect. And I won't go down that road again. And we'll leave it there. The man from East Lower, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know the drill. Give him a follow on Twitter @EastLower, or you can read his blog at eastlower.co.uk. That's eastlower.co.uk. Go do it. Right, we'll be back with, I don't know what, actually. Probably not very much, because it's been one of those kind of quiet weeks after we've won and not much has happened, apart from all the funny stuff that's happened to other people. So we'll look ahead very briefly to the West Ham game right after this.
Join us as we take another enchanting adventure into the world of the angriest man on Twitter.
Oi, Wenger, what is even the point in going to Old Trafford? We haven't won there since Emmanuel Adebayor scored a goal, and as we know, he's a cunt. We don't even have a cunt like that in the team. There's no way we're going to get something at the Theatre of Dreams. Oh, we won at Old Trafford. What? I feel weird and strange. I don't like it. What is this? What is this feeling inside me? It's like another emotion. I don't know the name. It's like not anger. and that makes me so angry!
Next week, another madcap laugh-a-minute romp with the angriest man on Twitter.
Everything is shit!
Right then, a game against West Ham this weekend, taking place at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Yeah, I know. I know. Ridiculous. Who ever heard of football being played at 3 o'clock on a Saturday? Don't they know that football is supposed to be at the most inconvenient time for everybody? TV viewers, travelling fans, home fans, people with children, people with jobs and work and stuff. This 3 o'clock on a Saturday when nobody's got to do anything, really, it's just never catch on. You just need to get a grip. But we are looking for our fifth consecutive Premier League win. We've beaten Leicester, we've beaten Crystal Palace, we've beaten Everton, and we've beaten Queen's Park Rangers. West Ham, of course, always a tricky thing when you're playing a Sam Allardyce side, because he could out-tactic you at any moment. That's the big danger. Whatever you think you know about tactics, he knows more, and he can out-tactic you. He can tactify in a tactilicious manner just when you think you're on top. His new style of tiki-taki has brought West Ham some dividends this season, but over the past few weeks, their form hasn't necessarily been as good as it was. They're sitting in 10th, and I don't know, they lost their last two, and they've drawn the previous three, and then they lost the last one, and their last win was on the 18th of January against Hull. So they're not necessarily in the best form. Not that that means much to us, to be fair. We can make it difficult against anybody. We know that. But, you know, we want to keep that bit of momentum going into the game on Tuesday. I know. It is ridiculous. It is ludicrous to even think that we might go out there and do what's necessary. I realise that. I've been watching Arsenal and football for a long time, and I realise this. Like, you know, every rational part of me knows that there's just no point in even beginning to hope. But then there's just that little bit. As I said to the man from East Lorne, what happens if they get a red card in the opening few minutes or in the first half? Or what if they play like absolute cunts, like we did? I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. It's extremely, extremely unlikely, but it's not impossible. 3-0. It's not an unusual scoreline. Maybe it's an unusual scoreline in the Champions League away from home, but I don't know. What if we hypnotise the guys and tell them that they're playing... Who's the last team we beat 3-0? That's a good question. Stoke. Just tell them they're playing Stoke. Although, yeah, that could backfire. But look, we've got to concentrate on what happens against West Ham first. Win the game against West Ham and then just give it a fucking lash and see, just see. You never know. Just go out there and have a crack at them and who knows? We all know. But who knows? The end of the day. We all know. I mean, really. We all know. But, you know. Nah, never gonna happen. No. We should concentrate on Premier League action, because we'll have the Arsecast Extra on Monday with James, and we can toss this one back and forward, the Monaco game. We can discuss that in the wake of what's happened against West Ham tomorrow, because who knows, that might have a bearing on our mood, on our hopes, our dreams, as we go to the south of France, and, you know, yeah. So look, let's just beat West Ham first, and then we can worry about whatever else comes after us. One game at a time, sweet Jesus, as the song went. Wasn't that was the song? It was a different song. I see. I don't really have much more to say this week. I feel like I'm on the verge of saying things that I shouldn't say about stuff that none of you are interested in. So, for everybody concerned, I'm going to leave it right here. I'll talk to you on the Arsecast Extra on Monday. We'll be back with another Arsecast next Friday. So until then, remember, on this very Friday, or whenever you might be listening to this Arsecast, it could be sometime years in the future. Why anybody would be doing that, I don't know. But remember, that Chelsea got beaten at home by PSG, who were down to 10 men. And Chelsea took the lead twice and were 7 minutes away from qualifying before Thiago Silva's goal knocked them out of Europe, and John Terry probably cried. Take that thought with you wherever you go, because it will make your heart feel better. Talk to you on the next Arscast. Until then, have a great weekend. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Later, via a statement released through his agent, Balotelli said that putting the Scorpions in Henderson's locker was a prank. However, the England midfielder remains in critical condition in hospital this evening. Now, the classified football results with Trevor Armflange.
Champions League. Real Madrid 3, Schalke 4, FC Porto 4, FC Basel 0, Bayern Munich 7, Shakhtar Donetsk 0, Chelsea 2, Paris Saint-Germain 2. Cunts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.